Jonathan J. Thanks so much to Shoot. Wait. There we go. And I'm not alone today. No. Who else we got? Boom. Can you hear that? Are you plugged in?
Am I plugged in?
I think, dude, you're so plugged in.
I found my headphones.
There you go. Right, so Jimmy Trujillo is doing jury duty today, so we all mahalo him for his civic duties. And the Boom Kanani and I are filling in. So stick around with Out of the Box. We got a whole bunch of awesome stuff coming up. We're going to be talking with Tulsi Gabbard in the first hour and doing some review of politics in America. Mm. And then for the second hour...
Kawhi Kine.
What does that mean?
Well, we're going to check out and maybe talk a little bit about the burgeoning billion-dollar marijuana industry that's about to break wide here in Hawaii.
So check it out. 1,000 times sweeter than sugarcane, Mary Jane, the next multi-billion dollar export agricultural commodity. Mm-hmm. And our economy sure could use it. So stick around with Out of the Box. First, we want to thank these fine, fine underwriters and people just like you who make it possible not only for KKCR to survive, but to thrive.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
That's right. So big mahalo to Kalaheo Chiropractic, to Qingyang Village, and to listeners just like you. So, got an awesome show. We're going to kind of go over some stuff. Things been happening in the world. But before we say anything, it's important to say this.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
And as Dave Giroux is ever so fond of saying, and I never tire of hearing, that's right. So... Kanani, you got your face stuck in a computer over there. What's the scoop?
Just looking at stuff.
Oh, stuff.
I don't even know why I'm here, actually. So.
Well, you know what? I've been dying to do a show with you for years, so here it is.
Okay. Partners in crime, I guess, on the air.
We got an incoming call here real quick. Yeah. Get these buttons all pushed. Button. Aloha, caller.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Hey, I heard the program today. It sounds real good. I'm interested in listening to the whole thing. But I was also curious about the pest report was supposed to come out.
Oh, that's right. The fact-finding, the kind.
I was very curious to see how it wasn't in the newspaper. It wasn't the front page. I was expecting it to be, you know, fairly big news. For
well,
it, anyway.
You know, just because it's big news doesn't mean it's in the Garden Island.
Well, I guess not, but... I don't know. I get some of mine. I mean, they reported a week ago that it was going to be out in a week, and that was front page material. So I thought that, you know, when it did come out, it would be right there, but it's not to be found yet. So have you guys heard anything about it?
I did hear that it just came out, and I know that Felicia has been tracking this issue very closely, as have I, but I'm pretty certain that she's going to be doing a show probably next Tuesday about that. I can't really speak for her, but I would bet a nickel.
Okay, I was just anxious to hear something about it, the results, of course, what how they're going to come out, and how they're going to present it. It was such a diverse panel, but that's a good thing as well.
Well, it's not a small issue, and it's not something that I think is going to be, you know, fully covered in like 15 minutes.
I've seen somewhere that the facts support what the people have been saying all along, and that the studies show that there should be some of the things that the community's been wanting, like buffer zones and so on, you know, should be implemented and so on. So, like Jonathan was saying, Tuesday probably you'll hear something on Felicia's show, and we'll dig into that and see if we can find something to share with you before the end of the show.
Okay, well, I'll be digging till Tuesday as well, but I'll be there on Tuesday.
Awesome.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. All right. So, Jonathan?
Well, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, the senior congressional representative from the 2nd District here in Hawaii, is going to be calling in about 4 minutes. And we're going to be talking about her recent decision to step down from the Democratic National Committee. But before we get her on the phone, I wanted to play this clip because she's made a little video presentation about that. So check this out, and then we'll be back with Tulsi Gabbard in a little bit. Let's see, get this up and running. There we go.
As a veteran of 2 Middle East deployments, I know firsthand the cost of war. I know how important it is that our commander-in-chief has the sound judgment required to know when to use America's military power and when not to use that power. As a vice chair of the DNC, I'm required to stay neutral in Democratic primaries, but I cannot remain neutral any longer. The stakes are just too high. That's why today I'm endorsing Senator Bernie Sanders to be our next president and commander-in-chief of the United States. We need a commander-in-chief who has foresight, who exercises good judgment, and who understands the need for a robust foreign policy which defends the safety and security of the American people, and who will not waste precious lives and money on interventionist wars of regime change. Such counterproductive wars undermine our national security and economic prosperity. As these elections continue across the country, the American people are faced with a very clear choice. We can elect a president who will lead us into more interventionist wars of regime change, or we can elect a president who will usher in a new era of peace and prosperity. It's with this clear choice in mind that I'm resigning as vice chair of the DNC so that I can strongly support Bernie Sanders as the Democratic nominee for president of the United States. And now I ask you, stand with me and support Bernie Sanders.
So that was Representative Tulsi Gabbard explaining a little bit of why she chose to step down from the DNC, that's the Democratic National Committee, where she was the vice chair. That's kind of a big deal because she's a rising star in the Democratic Party, but, you know, she's still very early in her career, and that was kind of a plum assignment that she was able to receive to be the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. Evidently, she felt strong enough about the way the Democratic primaries and caucuses were going that she made the decision to step down from that position and endorse Bernie Sanders. American politics has really been fascinating to me my entire life. It's confusing, you know? It's just like, wow, really? You guys elected that guy? What is up with that? You did it again? Wow. You know, for an alleged democracy, They got some work to do. And this election cycle has really proved to be even more incredible.
Circus.
Even more incredible than any I can actually remember. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about Trump over in their Republican Party. And it's kind of amazing. But I think we've got Tulsi Gabbard on the line right now. So we're going to go to music real quick and then come back with Representative Gabbard.
Paradise, paradise, paradise.
right. Thank you for tuning in to KKCR this afternoon and sharing your day with us. On the line with us right now is Tulsi Gabbard, the senior congressional rep from Hawaii District 2. Aloha, Representative Gabbard.
Aloha, Jonathan, and aloha to all of your listeners today.
So I'm very happy that you're on the show today, and I'm glad you're feeling better. Tried to schedule this last week, but I guess you had a cold or something?
Came down with a nasty, nasty flu. It was knocked me out for a few days. But thankfully, that is behind me, and I'm feeling much better. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And thanks also to your fine staff member, Erica Tsuji. She does an amazing job of coordinating these things on very short notice.
She does. Thank you. She keeps me on track.
Well, okay, so let's talk about the track you're on. You've been described as a rising star in the Democratic Party. I was just reading an article in the Washington Post this morning that that said you took courageous positions and were willing to buck, the leadership position on issues that you felt were, sound moral ground to stand on. For example, you gave the Obama administration some pushback in the way they were conducting the war in Syria.
That's right, Jonathan. There are a lot of issues that we're dealing with, but one of the main reasons that I ran for Congress in the first place was because of the experiences that I had had during both of my deployments and an understanding firsthand the cost of war. And wanting to make sure that I could be in a position to take those experiences, bring the voice of my brothers and sisters in uniform who I had served with, and make sure that, being in that position as a decision maker, I could do my best to stop us from getting into any more of these unnecessary interventionist regime change wars that have cost our country so dearly. This is why, in particular on the issue of the war that's being waged in Syria right now, I've introduced legislation. I've got a bill going through the House, H.R. 4108, that speaks directly to stopping the illegal, counterproductive war to overthrow the Syrian government of Assad. You and I spoke about this, I think, a few months ago. Congress has not declared war against Syria, and it's counterproductive because it works to serve the exact objectives that groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda are trying to achieve in overthrowing Assad and taking over all of Syria so that they can increase their territory, establish their caliphate, and thereby worsening the humanitarian crisis in ways that we haven't even seen yet, what to speak of the increased threat that they would pose to the region and to the world.
Sure, and then, of course, it's also in clear violation of international law. But I want to turn to what you've been in the news again recently for, and that is you were the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, and in your role there, you were arguing a couple months back for more debates. At the time, there was only five or six Democratic debates scheduled. Since that time, there's been many, many more, I think, bearing out the position that you were articulating from the get-go. But now you have stepped down. And we just played a little tape that you made about that, explaining your position. But maybe in your own words, what I would like to – I think listeners would be very interested to hear, why did you think that was worth stepping down from the DNC for? Because, I mean, that's a great position to be in.
Well, you began talking about the concerns and the issues that I've raised with this war in Syria, making that decision to step down as vice chair of the DNC so that I could endorse Senator Bernie Sanders was based along that same issue, the issue of war and peace and what role our country and our leadership should play in the world. We as the American people are faced with a very, very important decision, and people in states across the country are casting their votes in making their decision. And I just felt so frustrated that as I was seeing the first states go and vote, that people were not equipped with the facts and the information with regard to these costly wars, the positions of Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and how they differ greatly, and how they would respectively make very, very different commander-in-chiefs. This is something that is deeply personal to me as a soldier and as a veteran, but it's something that is important to the American people, because not only have these wars cost us greatly in American lives lost and hundreds of thousands of lives lost in the Middle East, but it's cost us trillions of dollars, trillions and trillions of dollars. So as you know, both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders talk about the kinds of programs that they would like to put in place to serve communities here at home, whether they be investing in infrastructure or education or our economy and jobs, that costs money. That money's going to come from somewhere, and that's where there's a big difference between these two in the positions that they've taken. I felt strongly about Senator Sanders making it clear, both through his record as well as the positions he's taken now on Syria, that he would end these interventionist regime change wars and nation building overseas and focus on nation building right here at home.
That's actually a very refreshing idea, nation building here in the nation.
Exactly. And we have seen, sadly, in places like Flint, Michigan, further costs of what happens when we are pouring our money into these kinds of unnecessary wars, which while our homes, our communities, our streets, our infrastructure are crumbling before our very eyes.
Well, it's interesting, I think, to a lot of people that as a woman, that you would not endorse a woman running for president. I mean, Hillary Clinton running in 2016 is a historical milestone for gender equity in America. And yet you're choosing to endorse someone who was a conscientious objector, Bernie Sanders, during the Vietnam War. What makes the difference for you there?
Well, I think the first thing is, as a woman, I'd love to see a woman serve in the White House, but I think it's actually sexist to think that women are so diminished to a point where we can only vote for someone simply based on their gender. You know, I've spoken to women of all ages, young women across the country, and heard from them about how incensed they are when they hear people question why they're not supporting Hillary, because they say, hey, I've got a mind of my own. I have issues that I care very much about, and she is not representing me, and she's not standing with me on those issues, which is why we've seen so many, especially young millennial women, standing strongly and very passionately supporting Senator Bernie Sanders.
So Michigan was a big come-from-behind surprise victory for Sanders, and now we're looking at Florida in a couple of days. What do you think the prospects are for that?
Well, look, there are definitely big challenges. Michigan, I think, was a great surprise. It's been talked about by those who study politics and history as one of the greatest upsets in modern-day politics. But it points to a couple of things. First of all, there are some challenges that are ahead of us in many different states. But to me, it shows kind of a bright example of the power of our democracy. You know, you hear these political pundits talking on the news every day about how, basically it's going to be impossible for Bernie Sanders to win because all of these states are going to vote this certain way.
Do they have a crystal ball?
A state like Michigan that disproves their whole narrative. pointing to the fact that, look, the power still in this country lies in the hands of the American people and in our democracy. And that's the strongest thing that we have that will ultimately decide this race. And that's where, for me personally, I'm doing my best to make sure that these voters are informed and educated about the differences between Bernie Sanders and Secretary Clinton, and reminding them about not only did Hillary Clinton vote for the Iraq War, she was a champion of that war, she was actually the architect and the main advocate in the Obama administration for the military overthrow of Gaddafi in Libya.
Yeah,
a country that has now completely, it's a failed nation. It's filled with chaos, thousands and thousands of Libyan lives lost, and ISIS and Al Qaeda now have a stronghold there, which they did not have before.
Yeah, that it seems grotesquely counterproductive. And the comment that she,
counterproductive is a great way to put it.
And then the comment that she made, which was kind of shocking to me, we came, we saw, he died, in reference to Muammar Gaddafi. What is up with statements like that?
I mean, again, there is nothing that I can say that doesn't speak louder than that statement. And this is where it's important for us to look to what kind of leadership and what kind of qualities we would like to see in our next commander in chief. If we look at this present day war that we're facing, this war in Syria, not only has she, you know, she supported this war when she was serving in the administration, she continues to support it and even goes farther and promises to escalate it by putting in a so-called no-fly zone, which would pit us directly in conflict with Russia. So we know what she's going to do if she were to become president by her past actions and by her what she's saying. And we know what Bernie Sanders would do if he were president, both through his past actions and the positions that he's taking. And I just want to make sure that before people cast their vote, that they know exactly what it is and who it is they're getting.
Well, I understand you're on a tight time frame, so I want to let you go pretty quick. But I just have to ask you one last question, and that is Bernie Sanders talks about a political revolution. What does that mean to you, and what does that look like?
Well, Jonathan, this political revolution is something that I have been experiencing and seeing along the campaign trail with him as I've been traveling over the last few days. In the hearts and the eyes of all of these thousands and thousands of people who've turned out to see him, I see that political revolution showing itself through, you know, the many, many emails and tweets and Facebook messages that I've gotten from people really who are sick and tired of the same old, who feel so deeply that the system is rigged against them, that if they're not one of the powerful or one of the rich or one of the wealthy, then they don't have then they don't have a shot. And I think that what they see is not just about one man. It's not about Bernie Sanders so much as it is about standing up together and speaking honestly and truthfully and working together to change those scales that are tipped so heavily for the very few.
Well, Congressman Gabbard, I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us, and we'd love to get you back. So stay healthy and keep doing good work.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Great to speak with you. Aloha to all of your wonderful listeners.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Love you.
right. Well, that was Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. Yep. Mr. Khabibi has informed me that I misspoke, and so column I. Sometimes I make mistakes, and sometimes I even can hear it when people tell me about it. It's really great. So, you know, this thing going on with the presidential contest in America, I got to tell you, it's just fascinating to me. You know, for the first time in my life, it seems like there's an actual Democrat running in the Democratic Party. And that's like, wow, that's kind of cool for a change. And then over in the Republican Party, there's an actual fascist running in the Republican Party. So I'm like, oh, well, you know, that's kind of refreshing for a change, too, because, and, you know, everyone has a different opinion, and I'm just sharing mine honestly and openly. And if you disagree, you are welcome to call in at 808-826-7771. I will respectfully listen to your views.
What's so bad about fascism?
You know what? That's a really good question. What is so bad about fascism? I mean, the uniforms are so snappy, right?
Well, I'm just wondering, what's so bad about fascism?
Fascism is
What happens to a guy who gets tagged with the moniker of fascist?
Well, you know, it all depends on the society that he's getting tagged in. If you have a proto-fascist society that hungers for authoritarian structure, then he might become lauded, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah, or if you live in a healthy, thriving democracy, people will either laugh him off the stage or they'll...
Vote him president.
No, they would, like, get him into a sanatorium and give him some help because he's got some very, you know, psychotic antisocial tendencies. But we've got a phone caller calling in.
Yeah, let's take the call.
So we're going to do that. Just a minute.
Pot up. Push the button.
Push the button. Aloha, caller. Oh, not fast enough. Got to try again. Please call back. The phone lines are open.
Yep.
808-826-7771. What is so wrong about fascism? You know what? That's a good question. I think if you don't know the answer or have never thought about that before, now's a great time to start thinking. And we'll try this second caller here. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Well, if you were an Italian during Mr. Mussolini's rule, you would say that he made the trains run on time.
Yeah, but they were running over people.
Yes, that's the sad part of it. The whole thing is, if you look at the U.S. dime, I still believe that if on one side of it is the fascist symbol, which came, of course,
that is true.
Our Roman friends.
Yeah. So, for the benefit of the listener who doesn't know what you're talking about, or
well, if you flip your dime over and you see a kind of like axe. With a bunch of like sticks tightened around.
Yeah, that the Latin term for that is a fasces.
Right. Well, you know, the whole thing is like looking at the positive side.
Can you explain how that's a symbol for fascism?
Well, I mean, it's like basically, you know, the strength of the union of the nation state is you know, gathered together, and with like the force of an axe. Or, you know, a hatchet, the power is multiplied by the force of the individuals drawn together in a nation state.
Wow, that's beautiful. A lot of people can't do that. Yeah, all the little twigs individually are weak, but when bound together as one, you know, one nation, Ein Reich, Ein Führer, all that kind of like fascistic, totalitarian, authoritarian, I'd use the word nightmare stuff. But when you
have a question for you, John,
when you're so regimented, you give all your power to the state, and the state uses it to crush and chop things.
Mr. Hitler talked about the Third Reich. What were the first two Reich?
I don't know.
I can tell you.
Awesome. I love learning.
So do I. Thank God. It makes life much more interesting. I believe he characterized the First Reich, of course, as the Roman.
Okay.
And, he stole quite liberally or fascistically from the Romans in terms of, like, the different symbols he used at the rallies, right? The eagle.
The banners.
Right. And he was a genius. I mean, even Jews.
Wow.
Rallies. You know, they had to restrain themselves from doing the Zeke Heil.
I hate me!
Yeah, it's like, No, I never, not so much that, but they,
I love you so much, I mean, hate me.
I must say the greatest speaker I have ever heard is Mr. Hitler. I mean, I listened to his speeches, and he was a genius. And the second...
Was he? Because I can't understand a word he's saying.
You don't speak German.
You have to relate. The point is, he started out very feminine, very soft, just like Martin Luther King. I heard him speak at my college, and he started out very slowly, very simply, and he built and he built and he built. And I mean, these two gentlemen, I believe, in my experience, they are the greatest speakers I have ever been exposed to. But anyway,
they were talking about totally different things.
Yeah, I'm talking about rhetoric, sir.
Okay, okay.
Rhetoric has nothing to do with morality.
You know. Unfortunately, that's true.
Unfortunately, it is. That is true. It has rhetoric is just the ability to persuade. But anyway, the Second Reich.
Yeah, the Second Reich
was the Austrian Reich.
Okay.
The Austrian-Hungarian, and guess who married the heir to the Habsburg dynasty? The cats who ran the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. Do you know?
I do not know.
Little Carolyn Kennedy.
Oh, okay. She
married to the heir to the Habsburg dynasty.
And who is that? Like, oh, recently?
No, not. Well, she's been married to him for like 20 or 30 years.
Well, that's pretty recent, you know, if we're talking about a 2,000-year time span.
Yeah, we're talking about Carolyn Kennedy.
Okay.
Yeah, she. Yeah, and besides being a lawyer and the, you know, the cute daughter of the JFK, yeah, she married the. Basically the heir to the Austrian-Hungarian Empire.
Okay, so you've got the first two Reichs, but, you know, sometimes two Reichs can make a wrong because
yeah,
then
well,
we get to the third
the
Reich.
Thing I find the most fascinating thing about Herr Hitler is that, you know, when he came in as chancellor in 1933, the army said, well, listen, dude, you know, we don't care if you're chancellor or not. That's cool with us, but you got to get rid of your homies. So... There's a thing called the Knight of the Long Knives.
That's the Knight of the Long Knives.
That's when.
Doesn't that sound friendly? Doesn't it give you like a warm, cuddly feeling?
Yeah, that's when I sort of like, I was watching TV last night and they were saying that there's some, Canadian party that had this like, the humorous commercial showing them, you know, the peak of Americans Googling like entrance into Canada. And it showed this Canadian guy building this wall.
Oh yeah, at a cinder blocks.
Hilarious. Yeah, but anyway, so in one night the German army came and like torpedo los totally like wiped out all of Hitler's homies who helped him rise to power.
Well, that doesn't seem very friendly.
Well, that's the nature of power.
Huh.
Right?
I don't know.
Well, from personal relationships to political organizations, I mean, but anyway, yeah, it's like, I'm thank God for Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, she seems all right. She's got a very level head on her shoulders. She makes sense. She talks about facts. She has combat experience, so she knows that it's no walk in the park, and it's not something to be entered into frivolously like the U.S. has done, like, I don't know, 19 times in the last 15 years or so.
Yeah, she's incredible, and besides, she comes from the old-time religion.
That's true. I think she's the highest ranking American official of the Hindu persuasion. So that's actually a pretty impressive accomplishment for her. So, you know, do you want to make a transition from Herr Hitler to Herr Trump or to Trump's hair? Oh. All right, we're going to go to the next caller.
All right, cool.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, hi. Aloha.
Hi. My concern is about people voting for Sanders.
Well, people feeling the burn.
What I would like to know is, what is his stand on the war? Will he put an end to wars? And the other thing is, he has said that he would still support the Patriot Act, and we want to know, can he change his mind about that? Because that affects all our freedoms, and we want to know. He has to be able to answer the questions that the young people want to know. If he wants the young people to go out and vote, because they're probably the only ones that can make a difference at this point.
Well, I think those are really great questions, and I don't know the answers to them. But well, I did do a little research, kind of digging deeper on Bernie Sanders, because a lot of people are really stoked about many things that he's saying that have long been unsaid. But digging deeper.
Do you remember how Obama kept promising change, but he never explained what change? And so he's gone for, you know, two terms now. Yeah, he's creating change, but not explaining and telling us specifically that those change match what we want to see for the future of America.
Yeah, well, I think that was a big failing on his part, or maybe that was a big failing
Bernie
on the American
people. Doing the same
people.
Thing. Bernie has to explain exactly what he wants to do. You know, like stop spending on military. Do you hear him say that? We are not going to spend any more money on military except what we have to pull out.
I sure would love to hear that.
Well, that's what we want to hear collectively, so we have to demand it of him.
I know that the U.S. could cut its military budget by 90% and still have the most powerful military force on the planet.
Yeah, just look how many bases there are in the world.
Like between 800 and 1,000, depending on how you count them.
How about being good neighbors and saying to Cuba, listen, not only will we pull out all the prisoners, but we're going to give you that island back.
Well, what if the Cubans wanted to open up a secret military torture camp in South Florida?
Yeah, how do you think America would like that?
Yeah, I don't think.
Or how about if a drone fell on your friend's wedding and 150 people died at that wedding next week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can more than ruin your whole day.
You know, it's
no,
like,
I mean, it's like crazy outrageous, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so those questions have to be addressed to Sanders, and he has to tell us exactly what changes he sees, you know, compared to what's been going on with Obama.
Well, I think those are really good questions, and I don't know how he would answer that, but
collectively we have to ask him. Young people have, if he wants the young people to go out and vote, they have to know what they're voting for.
Do you want to hear my little idea about that?
Sure.
I think that politicians will do what we compel them to do, and they won't do what we don't compel them to do. I think kind of the leadership model is upside down.
Yeah.
I think if you feel strongly about the positions that you're speaking to, and I do, then you and I have a responsibility to insist that they happen, and not so much ask politician A, B, or C what they're going to do, because that's our job to tell them.
Yeah, but I'd like to see collectively more dialogue that says, this has to happen, this has to happen, and this has to happen, or we're not voting for you.
Well, I think that is well put, and I want to thank you for calling in and sharing that important perspective.
Okay, I'll leave you to it.
All right, aloha. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for the good show.
So the phone lines are open again at 808-826-7771. In about 20 minutes, we're going to be coming up with Josh Fukino. Is that right? Yeah, let me get there. Josh Fukino, who just wrote a really great article about coming out of the grow closet, and we're going to be talking about the next billion-dollar agricultural export commodity from the Hawaiian Islands, 1,000 times sweeter than sugar cane, Mary Jane. But the phone lines are open now.
Yeah, the phone lines are going on.
And you guys are calling in. That's awesome.
You know, this whole election process that's going on. The American election process. It really highlights the polarization that's occurred over there on the continent. And I think it highlights what the true undercurrent, you know, what's been existing in the undercurrent. Let's call it the soft white underbelly of the beast has been exposed, you know.
Yeah, the pallid white underbelly.
And so what we're dealing with in the society that has become on the continent is very wide and dispersed.
Well,
so what we're seeing is that there's as many people for as there are against everything that's happening in that whole process. So we got Bernie Sanders on one side who's talking about, you know, supporting the the poor people or the less wealthy or the middle class.
The 99%.
The folks who have traditionally not been fairly represented in U.S. politics. And then you have, you know, the other side, Hillary Clinton. And then there's that one guy way out there, Donald Trump, who's gained some pretty impressive and significant numbers and support along the way. It's a crazy circus. Balancing all of that out, making something that will work out of all of that, you know, the picture is daunting. And ultimately, like we've always been saying, it's up to the people who have a voice, who can speak up, to be active, get out there, and call the shots.
Well, the American people, you know, I don't know how much time you spent in America. I've spent, I don't know, maybe 25, 30 years there. The people are wonderful, you know, high, low, north, south, east, west. They're amazingly kind and
generous.
And
you never know
people.
What you're going to run into anywhere you go on the continent.
Right, but the one thing that I will say that America has abjectly failed to do, and when I say America, I mean like the citizens of America, because they're great people. They have completely and totally and disastrously failed to keep their own government in check.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you on that at all. I support that.
So we got another caller here. Aloha caller, you're on the air.
Yes, point of reference regarding politicians. I heard Mr. Goldwater speak in 67.
This would be Barry Goldwater.
Yes.
Not Barry White.
No, I thank God I didn't channel him.
See if you can pull him up.
Yeah, I heard Mr. Goldwater, and he said that the reason why we were in Vietnam was because there was oil off of Vietnam, and that's why all these nations currently are, you know, building bases, because they want to get access to that oil in that general area, the Philippines, Vietnam, et cetera. But he said, now you young people live a very nice life in America, and I didn't agree with Mr. Goldwater on a lot of things, but I really respect somebody when they talk turkey, when they speak clearly about their intentions.
Well, it's actually really amazing that Barry Goldwater said this. Is like back in like 62 or 64.
67, he said this.
Okay, 67. Well, you know, here we are 40 years later, and that's absolutely been borne out, because that's what all this conflict is, with territorial assertions in the South China Sea and all these little islands.
There's a bunch of oil in that area.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, I could not vote for Mr. Obama, because I just don't trust the gentleman. And, you know, this whole thing about hope, as the previous caller was talking about, hope and change. Well, yeah, he's done a really great job. I remember some poor believer, True Believer, which is a really great book by Eric Hoffer. I'd suggest everyone read it. Anyway, she was saying, oh yeah, Mr. Obama, he's going to pay my mortgage. And I want to say, man, lady, if you believe that, I got a couple of bridges hyena to sell you. You know, it's like, right. So, it's just so sad that, you know, that, we have this this political, you know, standoff between the Congress and the president, and
well, they're all just interested in getting nothing done. It's really kind of nuts.
That's why it's so refreshing with Ms. Gabbard.
It really is, and we got another caller standing by.
Thank
you. Did you want to? Okay, all right. Thanks for calling in. The phones are open again, 826-7771. That's area code 808.
Yep.
All right, and go to this caller. Aloha. Thank you for calling in to Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you.
Aloha.
Aloha. You're on the air.
Yeah. I guess what I'm thinking is which presidential candidate will deoccupy the government in Hawaii? That's kind of what I want to know.
That's a great question.
As a subject of Hawaii. Oh,
everybody's nodding their head right now. You can't see that on the radio. But.
I mean, I just feel like every time I listen to these people, it's just, it doesn't comply with us over here.
Well, you can take that same question and flip it around backwards and say, which presidential candidate supports the continued illegal military occupation of sovereign countries? That's a good question, huh?
There you go. That's a good question. And put them on the spot.
Yeah.
Put them on the spot. So
that's always
thanks, Donovan, Jonathan.
Thank you. That's always Aloha. my number one concern and question, you know, because as a lineal descendant of Kanaka Hawaiians who built the Kingdom of Hawaii, I have this certain understanding of my kupuna's will to adhere to this thing that we helped build, which is what we call today international law. And the kupuna of our kingdom, they understood this concept of being a part of an international community and building laws that regulate the conduct of nations. And
well, one of the reasons why is because the Kingdom of Hawaii was one of the first round of nations in the world. I mean, there was no Germany when there was a Kingdom of Hawaii. There was no Italy. Those nations hadn't been formed yet.
The Kingdom of Hawaii, exactly, was the first non-European nation outside of Europe and the League of Nations to be admitted into that group of recognized sovereign countries. And so Hawaii was there at the point of the world becoming this place that nations could trade and create commerce and economic exchange with at an international level. And we, you know, Hawaiians helped build that. And so what we see happening today with so little regard from the American government towards international regulations and the adherence of international laws. We see so often that the American government will...
Yeah, make sure you make a distinction
in, right,
there.
The American government will step into an international arena and subvert international law in order to... Because of its own perceived interests.
Yeah.
And so, like you were saying earlier, you know, the one failing of the people of America is
which are wonderful people.
We've lost
I love America. I love you, Americans.
Control. They have lost control of their government. And the government no longer, you know, at least it appears from my unique perspective,
that's
it appears
that
what it looks
like
the government
me.
No longer serves the needs, wants, wills of the people.
No, it seems like it's a representative government, but
so how does
it's representative of capital
that's my military question. Back to my question, you know, that's always my question is how does an entity like we have in the government of the United States continue to exist at an international level when it continually disregards the laws and the regulations that international bodies have committed to and itself is a notary to and signed on
said
as
it
a
would follow those
member
rules. Yeah.
Of
promised
you know so we continually hear this rhetoric and talk of reprimanding those other nations that exist around the world who don't have democracy, capitalism as a model for their structure.
You know what they call America now?
But our own deity in the government of the United States is immune from any reparations that may occur because of the injustices that it has incurred upon itself through its activity upon the world.
You know what they refer to the U.S. as?
What?
A market democracy, meaning that the markets, the financial interests, the financial sector, that is what is represented.
Yeah.
Kind of, kind of blew my mind when I first heard
just
that.
Don't go changing the recipe in Coca-Cola, all right?
I mean, Aloha caller, you are on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box special edition this week with Boom Kanani and Jonathan Jay.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I cannot explain how excited I am to hear you both on the air at the same time. This is Aurelius. I love you guys.
Ah, what's up, Aurelius?
Hey.
You're welcome for the treat.
Boom. So I don't want to take too much time on the air, but I want to put forth a question. I heard through Amy Goodman that very quietly Trump took Hawaii this week.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
I voted for him.
Is that a surprise to you?
I guess I must be kind of naive, but it really is.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, in all honesty, I went
down.
Well,
come on, who else would the Committee of Safety vote for?
I registered as a Republican, and I went down, and I filled out the little form. You know, Jeb Bush was still on the ballot, the poor guy.
I know.
But, what?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, did you enjoy the Trump calendar of bikini girls that you got for your vote?
You know, they must have run out by the time I got in there. I didn't get one of those.
Okay, so for the rest of us who are trying to take part in the Democratic priority and primary, I mean, would you guys please explain on air the process? Do I have to register as Democrat? Do I have to register? Because I know with the primaries, there's a little bit more involvement, and I just think not enough information is getting out there about, you know, the Hawaiians that want to decide between, Bernie and Hillary. What do we do to make sure that our voices are heard there?
Well, that is a really good question. And I'm flipping through my notes here from the last week's show. Dylan Hooser called in, and he said that if you want to find out what's the scoop, he had his website. It will give you the answers. It is HawaiiForBernie.com. That's Hawaii with two I's, F-O-R, Bernie, B-E-R-N-I-E.com. HawaiiForBernie.com.
Yep.
He says it doesn't matter if you are a Hillary supporter or a Bernie Sanders supporter. You can go to that website. It will tell you where you get a chance to vote. That's going to be on March 26th, which is a Saturday. And it's a caucus.
Awesome.
It's a caucus, and basically it's going to be at the neighborhood center nearest you. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. And so you're asking, like, how do you do it? Well, just like the GOP, it's one-stop shopping. You go in, you sign, yes, I am a Democrat. You fill out paperwork. It's basically, it just says, what's your name and address? And then they give you a ballot. And then I think because it's a caucus, you're going to actually, like, chat with your neighbors. For the GOP, I just went in, and they gave me a ballot, and I filled it out and dropped it in the box, and that was that. But I think because the Democratic system in Hawaii is a caucus system, I think people gather by precinct. You know, there's like three districts, the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th district. And then each one of those districts has five or six different precincts. Those are like subdivisions of the district. So you go there,
okay.
and you talk with your neighbors, and you, like, you know, your neighbors might try and persuade you to vote for Hillary, and you could try and persuade them to vote for Hillary, and they could try and persuade you to vote for Bernie, and then you kind of have like a chit chat for a while, and then you make your choice, and then you do it, and then you see how it turns out. But
excellent.
The thing that's really cool about this is, like, you know, I never was a sorority girl in college. I know that. That might be,
I doubt that, Jonathan.
It may be a surprise to some people. But, you know, when you go on dates with the GOP or the Democratic Party, it's not like they give you their pledge pin or you have to wear their sweater. You don't have to go steady. You know, it can be take you out for dinner, wine and dine you. You don't have to give it up. You just say, thank you. I'm going to go on a date with Tommy tomorrow.
Okay, so just so I understand, you don't have to pre-register. You can show up on March 26th and register as either a Democrat or an independent and then make your choice for the primary. Do I have that right?
You can register to vote, and you can register as a Democrat. I don't know about the independent thing.
Okay, so just because my only concern was if I check the wrong box, can I still make my choice between Hillary and Bernie, I guess is the meat of my question.
If you check the wrong box, then you're going to get the ballot that reflects the group that you decided to go with. So you want to make sure you check the right box.
Yeah, but it's not for life.
No, exactly.
You have to swear to be a Democrat for that evening.
Yeah, exactly. You get another chance in 4 years, too. So, but, yeah, check out the webpage. We gave you the webpage one more time.
Yeah, HawaiiForBernie.com. And that's not an endorsement of Bernie Sanders.
And that whole process, you know, and if you want to be part of that process with that group, then you do have to register to be a
Democrat. Yeah, I just think the primary is so important this time around. I just want to make sure that the word is getting out there. Yeah. Are people who want to make that choice between the two primary Democrat candidates that we have that, that we have that choice. So thank you guys again. I'll let you get back to your show, and I really appreciate both of you again. It's tremendously exciting to hear you guys both together in the studio. I'm loving the show.
Oh, thank you.
Mahalo.
You know, I feel the same way, Donovan. It's awesome that you're here.
With my hands?
Yeah.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, that's right. So we got another caller.
I figured the show that we ended up doing together would be a lot more comedic.
Time for one more caller?
Yeah, yes. What's up, caller?
It's you, caller.
Okay, are we...
Yeah.
Are we going here?
You're live.
We're live.
We got Kauai Community
Radio.
We got
like 2 minutes before we get to do the top of the hour.
Mucho mahalo. I'd just like to...
They nada.
Say what... What I see happening in this presidential contest on the Republican side is if Trump doesn't get a majority of delegates, that the other guys are going to try to go against him and, you know, put up a, you know, a more conservative candidate.
Well, it seems like, what's that, Theodore Cruz.
It's interesting how the other guys are all throwing their hands up, scratching their toupees or heads or whatever.
Whatever it is they have on there.
And all screaming, we gotta stop this guy, all of a sudden out of nowhere.
Well, you know what's so...
It's almost laughable.
You know what's so great about that
yeah.
is the Republican Party is eating itself from the inside out.
Yeah, it does appear that way sometimes.
And everybody's complaining about Trump, but I gotta say one thing about Trump. He's not the disease... He's not the problem.
No.
He's the readout on the thermometer that's telling you how sick democracy is in America.
There's an interview that he did once upon a time that where he stated if he was to ever run for president, it would be as a Republican. And I quote, because that's the most stupidest body of voters that exists.
Most stupidest?
That's a quote.
I love it.
Yes. And so there you go.
But I want to apologize for Mr. Trump on behalf of all Republicans, because there's a lot of decent people who are Republicans. They got to just be scratching their head saying, how did I get into this party?
Right. Exactly.
So we're going to do top of the hour stuff. You have a closing comment, caller?
Well, I just see on the Democratic side quickly, I think Bernie's going to run a lot of these states now because
I think
you know,
so
Hillary's
too.
States have basically voted.
I think so,
so
too.
I think Bernie's going to run the table, and I foresee a scenario where Bernie has more popular votes, but Hillary, because of the Democratic
super delegates,
she will have more delegates. But he will have more popular votes.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen?
Yeah.
What's going to happen now?
Yeah, that's a great question. But I think you're right. I think Michigan, we're going to look back at that. And Michigan's like, whoa, that's a big turning point. And I would not be surprised if there was a Sanders tsunami.
We'll see.
All right.
Well, what blows me away is Bernie's carrying the heartland. Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska. He would have won Iowa if the six precincts that were, they had a tie-in hadn't all flipped coins, and Hillary won all six of them.
Yeah, what are the odds?
If they would split those 3-3, Bernie would have won Iowa. So, you know, to put Iowa in her column is dubious. And then Michigan, of course, Wisconsin will go vote for Bernie. And, I mean, I just think, you know, and the whole West Coast will go for Bernie. And Bernie's strong in the heartland, and he's strong in the Northeast.
I'm excited to see how it all pans out.
Yeah. Watching politics in America is so great, and I'm really enjoying the burn.
Me too.
All right. Aloha, caller.
Thank you.
We're going to go out with a little Barry White. I don't know how that came into the mix. You got a tune to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea. This is Out of the Box, special edition with Mr. Boom Kanani Kabibi.
That's me.
And, you know...
Jonathan J.
Yeah, me too.
That's so, you.
That's me. All right.
Caller, hang on. We got to do some top of the hour stuff, and then we'll get back to our action.
So why don't we stop all the talking, girl? Why don't we stop wasting time? I've had my share of lovers. Some say I'm damn good.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you. KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
A lot of great stuff going on in the world. Don't lose track of that. So much beauty, so much mystery, so much wonder, so many seeds of potential.
The 16th Kauai Community Seed and Plant Exchange will be held on Sunday, March 13th from noon to 5 p.m. at the Aninahu Community Park in Kilauea, home of Kauai Mini Golf and Namahana Farmers Market. Live music will feature Kaimi Andel of Ku Halelea, the Sacred Earth Choir, Tangled Roots, and more. Local food, educational activities, and kid-friendly fun rounds out Kauai's signature plant generosity party. Please bring GMO-free, pest-free, non-invasive seeds, cuttings, and plants to share with others, or begin your collection today. For more information, visit ribg.org or call 652-4118.
So that actually is a freaking wonderful thing, the seed exchange. I can hardly believe that it's 16th annual seed exchange, and it isn't actually, because they do them two times a year. So it's not actually 6 years. It's actually 8 years, which is also freaking impressive. So hats off to all the good people at the Regenerations Botanical Seed folks, the RIBG.org. And so, yeah, if you're not doing something else, and maybe even if you are, check out the Kauai Mini Golf. That's going to be Saturday. And for more information, you can go to 652-4118 or RIBG.org. Yeah, those guys are awesome. So
let's take this call.
Well, we got to still do this.
You still got to do that?
There's a lot of stuff to do.
I knew it was going to be more comedic.
Yeah.
Aloha, KKCR Ohana. Kauai Community Radio is constantly evolving. In January, we will begin the 2016 KKCR Strategic Plan, and you are invited. In a series of public meetings, group discussions, collaborative workshops, and awesome station parties, we will review and rededicate ourselves to the future of Kauai Community Radio. Please get involved in the future of your radio station by emailing strategicplan@kkcr.org and stay tuned for more updates about the KKCR Strategic Plan, and mahalo for your participation.
I like that guy.
Who is that guy?
He must be really good looking.
I don't know.
So
you got a face for radio, I think.
Yeah, thanks. So next week, I hope I'm going to be interviewing Jimmy Trujillo about why is he motivated to do a talk show. What is it about community affairs that he has a passion for?
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah.
You know, we do. There's a lot of us guys doing this radio shows, and nobody's ever interviewed any of the guys doing the radio shows.
So that's what I'm going to do. And you know what? I'll have you on a show in, you know, maybe a month from now.
I'd like to get Felicia
on. Because people are doing really great work, but, like, what motivates you? Why do you do the things you do? And why do you cover it from this angle versus that angle? And how do you feel it meets the mission of KKCR?
I'll let our listeners know right now, since we're on the topic. There's a new show that's going to be coming on fourth Monday of every single month. It's called the Olelo Noiau Show.
Olelo Noiau.
Yes, exactly.
What does that mean?
Olelo Noiau. It's how we reference in Hawaii, like proverbs and quippy sayings and
stuff like wise words.
Okay. So it's the Olelo Noiau
of
our culture.
Cool.
So I'll be the host of that show the fourth Monday of every month from right after Democracy Now.
That is an awesome
slot. Noon to one.
That is an awesome slot.
Fourth Monday.
Wow.
Every month.
I'm going to stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
So we got more station business to do.
What?
Yeah, because check this out.
KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
Yeah, not only are we broadcasting all over Kauai and Niihau, we are also broadcasting 104.7 on Oahu and then streaming live around the world. And this is made possible because of people like you have thrown down to help support KKCR as well as these fine underwriters.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
And a big mahalo nui loa to Hawaii Life, to the Tahiti Nui and Compassionate Care. You know, I just love community radio. I love that all these people step up in the community and say, hey, we think what you guys are doing is awesome, and we want to support that. And so thank you for that. Thank you to the listener for tuning in and calling in and sharing your thoughts and ideas and for the support that you give us throughout the year. We're having our pledge drive is coming up again in May 12th, and so stick around for that. That's pretty exciting. But I have to say just this last thing here.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right.
So here we are.
Here we are.
Kauai Community Radio, mahalo for tuning in. This is Out of the Box. I'm Donovan Kanani Kabibi. Boom, Kanani, that's Jonathan Jay, in case you haven't been paying attention. And we got a caller online.
You want me to take it?
We got two. Let's take a couple calls, and then we'll talk about what we got
all
coming
right
up.
Sure. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Yeah. And for the other caller, please, we'll make it quick.
Yeah, those callers have been holding on for a minute. So
thanks for being so patient.
Yeah. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Is it me?
It is you.
Okay, it's Felicia.
Oh, hey, Felicia.
Hi, I've been calling for a long time. It's been ringing for probably 15 minutes. So I wanted to say that there was a little bit of information that needs correction on the election.
On the election?
So this thing is happening on the Saturday the 26th for the Democratic. It's a caucus. It's not a primary. So
I said caucus.
The last caller didn't quite understand. You're not going to get a ballot like what you usually get. You don't pick the right side. It's not like that. It is not run by the election office. It's run by the Democrat Party.
So explain to the listener what they can expect if they should so choose to go to the Democratic caucus on the 26th.
So there's five locations. And they aren't the same. So, like, for example, the North Shore is at Princeville Community Center, then at the Kapa'a Library. I believe it's at the HGEA location in Lihue. I'm not, and then it's Kalaheo and Waimea. But it's you go there at 12 o'clock and you vote at 1. It's only basically an hour. And if it's anything like what it is in the past, there's a box, and people have little pieces of paper, and you have a pen, and you write Clinton, or you write Sanders. So it's best if people are pre-registered as a Democrat. It's not like the regular election. You need to be a part of the party.
Sure, but it's a one-stop shopping kind of thing. You go in there, you can register as a Democrat, and then sit down and participate. Easy peasy.
I believe that you can, but they have said please register ahead of time, and I think that makes it easier because then you're on the list. And then the other thing is that you need to bring an ID, like normal, and you go in and you put the address, the thing that you put in there, and then you stay, and they count it. And the other thing that happens that's very, very important is the delegates are picked. So after they count the ballots, then they look and they see how many people they have. And so if it's mostly, let's say, well, it's one or the other. I don't even want to pick one. But let's say they pick a candidate, they win, then the ballots, I mean, the delegates are picked right there. And
so
you have to get around to that.
Well, so I think it's helpful for you to explain a little bit about what it will be like. But the main thing is, if you want to participate in there, you go and check it out, and the people who are there will help you get it done, right?
They will help you get it done, but there is a bias. And I won't say who they want to win, but it isn't who you want to win.
How do you know that?
There's a bias, and if everybody splits, and then when they decide who is the delegate, you want to be there for the choosing of the delegate.
So what's your best advice to someone who is curious about this process?
Well, my best advice is to try and register as Democrat before you go. You can do it online, and you could go to the Democrat Party, or I think you said Hawaii for Bernie, no matter whether you're for him or another person.
Yeah, and I'm on that page right now. It's HawaiiForBernie.com. You can register to vote. You can join the Democratic Party, and then you can find out exactly where your caucus location is Saturday, March 26th at 1 p.m. Thank you so much for calling in and bringing these important things.
Let me say this one thing. Am I still on?
Yes.
Hang up on me. Okay. Show up at 12 because they're going to count it at 1.
Oh.
Sometimes if people are all around the block, it can be very, very long. And so if you're late, then you don't get your vote in.
Well, that sounds like the best kind of caucus there is, a nice big long one.
That's right. But go early so you can park, because Kapa'a, there's not much parking near the library. In fact, there's not much parking in Princeville, and this is the whole North Shore. So you want to show up early. It's when we did it the last time, it was at the Kilauea Neighborhood Center, and it was such a big turnout they had to move it into the gym, and it filled the gym. And they weren't anticipating it. When in the last one, it's the Republican one, Ron Paul just filled the line, and so a lot of times they don't have enough paper. There's all kinds of things.
Well, blessedly, we're not going to have that problem this time, because that's not, Ron Paul is not in the Democratic Party. So thank you for calling in.
All right.
Really appreciate it. We're really blessed to have people like Felicia on the island.
She's going
to
be doing Tuesday talking about pesticide thing real quick before Felicia goes.
Are you still there, Felicia? Yeah,
the joint fact-finding stuff, I'm going to cover that at about 5 o'clock.
Okay.
I'm going to begin on that.
So I'm stoked for you to begin that conversation. Yeah. I can't imagine that you'll get it all talked out by Tuesday. So maybe there'll be things left to talk about come Thursday next week.
Okay. All right. So, hey, it was great listening to Tulsi, and it's been a great show. I just want to make sure that we have the right information out there, because people do rely on us, and it's important that people have the right expectations. So come at 12, not 1. At 1 o'clock, they're counting.
Perfect. Thanks,
Thank
Felicia.
You. That's great advice. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay. All right.
We got another caller hanging in?
Not anymore.
Well, perfect. Let's just move on then. You like that? Okay, so let me see what we got
here. Wait, what's that smell in the
room? What is that? I don't know, man. Well, let me talk about this real quick. Let me back this up and back that up.
I got this letter in the mail yesterday, which I thought was just amazing. The timing was amazing. This was from the Concerned Americans, both liberal and conservative, about the war on drugs. And says that... They feel that the war on drugs has been a failure. And this is kind of blew my mind. It says that although the U.S. population accounts for 5% of the total population of the world, the U.S. has 25% of all the world's prisoners. They have more people in jail than any other country in the world. That's crazy. It says that the war on drugs is one of the biggest reasons why.
It's gnarly.
Yeah, so check out these interesting factoids here. It says that the war on drugs in the U.S. has an annual government expenditure of, let me get this right, $51 billion a year. Spending $51 billion a year. I guess that's how they can lock up so many people. And it says that in 2013, there was 1.5 million people arrested for non-violent drug charges.
Mm.
Uh-huh. And then the number of people arrested for a marijuana law violation was almost 700,000 people. And the number of those people charged with marijuana law violations who were arrested for possession only, like they had a couple grams or something, like a joint, over 600,000 people. That's like more than 500,000 people in jail at a tremendous cost for purpose.
I got a perfect
solution. Did you say just the joint?
Yeah.
Well, I got a perfect solution for how we can recoup some of that billions dollars of expenditures and free up some jail space all at the same time while expunging a whole bunch of people's criminal records. Legalize it.
Hey, there's an idea.
You know? Yeah. And so speaking of which, this is a conversation that we've been having for a long time. And not all that long ago, the idea of marijuana being legal in Hawaii was kind of crazy. And in fact, this article here that I'm looking at from 2013 in the Honolulu
Stradvertiser?
Yes, exactly. The Honolulu Magazine, actually.
Oh, okay.
So back in 2013, they were talking about how Hawaii has a love affair with marijuana and how we're famous for it and known all it. And they're talking about how in 2013, you know, it wouldn't be likely that it was going to be legalized in 14 or 15. And here we are, 16. Marijuana has been legal for medical use for quite some time, and going through...
Yeah, but it's been intentionally dysfunctionalized.
Well, there is an effort to do that. Some licensing opportunities have been issued in Hawaii for, I believe, 8 dispensaries.
No, total. Eight licenses, eight, 16 dispensaries.
16 dispensaries, 8 licenses.
Yeah, each one can have 2.
Each one can have 2, exactly. Yeah. So,
but, I mean, it's crazy, like... They're not allowed to. They can't use charge cards.
Well, the legislation.
All transactions have to be in cash. The people in the store can't physically touch the cash.
You have to have $1 million.
You have to have $1 million
to be able
in
to
escrow
open it up.
Just to sit aside. You're not allowed to have a lawyer.
Your retail spot has to be in a separate building from your. From your yeah, so anyway,
from your grow operation,
your grow
and
operation.
you can't grow from
you
can't buy
to have
from an open market
size building.
Yeah,
there's a lot of regulations that are set up in a lot. Anyway,
it's set up to fail.
The dispensaries are going to be happening no matter what. Legalization, as we know it, at a recreational level, is being discussed in the House. Place where they talk about that stuff.
The legislature?
Yeah, down there in Honolulu.
Oh, okay.
Right? So the ledge is talking about all this stuff, and they're hearing arguments for and against. They're discussing the whole process and what we can expect. We got a guest here today who's got a thing called Kauai Kine. And that's what we're talking about.
Indeed,
today.
Indeed.
So this is Josh Fukino in the house. Joshua.
Hey, brother Josh.
Hey, thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah, no problem. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me just get my Snapchat out right now.
Yeah,
we're Snapchatting in the studio.
Multimedia.
Multimedia.
Yeah, definitely follow us on all those channels.
So what do you think of all the tired old argument that, like, marijuana will drive you crazy and we got to make it illegal because for safety?
You know, exactly like you said. It's tired. It's old. It needs to go to bed.
Go to bed already.
Go to bed. Go to sleep. And let us young people take over. Let us people with a lot more energy, a lot more energy willing to sort through some of the problems, some of the issues, willing to deal with the hard questions and hard answers. So those people that are old and tired, it's time to go to sleep.
Get some rest.
Because
they up way past their bedtime. It's not making any sense anymore.
We've been awake for a long time. We've been awake for a while now. And give us our chance. You know, everybody has their chance. And They've had theirs.
Well, you say young people. How young are you?
Well, I am 36.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, I'm kind of coming into that stage where I need to be given the chance to start being a leader here.
You're not
in
a
the
kid.
Community. I'm not a kid.
You're not 98 either. But if you look at the U.S. Congress, all of those guys, most of the Congress people, right, they're all in their 80s. Tulsi Gabbard's like a rarity to be.
Look at our county.
As young as she is.
Can we just
in that
come
group?
Let's just come
look
right
at our
down
county
where it affects us personally. Look at our county. I'm sorry. How many of them are in their 30s? Where a lot of these issues are,
let's see, none.
Can we? Okay, that was easy to count.
That was easy.
So it's a whole demographic of opinions, expressed views, whatever you want to call it, perspective that is not being heard, not being felt, not being addressed at the county level. So definitely this is not being addressed at the nation level either.
But, you know, Bernie Sanders actually called for the descheduling of marijuana on the federal list. And that sounds a pretty straightforward thing.
I love Bernie. I'm feeling the burn, too. But, you know, Bernie's old, too. I'm not going to say he's tired because he got some really, really great ideas.
Well, just because you're old doesn't mean you're tired. There's a lot of kupuna who have tremendous
have
wisdom.
Tremendous. Exactly. Tremendous. But what I need to see from those kupuna, from those, you know, that still got the spunk in them, is I need to see their leaders coming up under them. Who are they breathing? Who are they instilling? Who are they bringing up to take the mantle? Because, you know, the apple or the, you know, the fruit is only as good as the tree it fell from. The, you know, in what I'm doing in the cannabis world, it's all about genetics.
So what are you doing in the cannabis world?
Yeah, well let me do this real quick in case our listeners aren't aware. We're with Brother Josh, and he's with the advocacy group called Kauai Kine, and they're
Well, it's my business that I started.
Okay.
Which, yeah.
Okay. And so Kauai Kine advocates for medical and recreational marijuana use in the state of Hawaii.
Yeah.
And so with legalization in Hawaii and the new dispensaries that are being put together in Hawaii, we thought it was appropriate to get Brother Josh on, who's an advocate and knows what's going on and can kind of share a new perspective on this whole issue with our listeners. So
Hawaii, when Hawaii legalizes marijuana for responsible adult use,
yes,
they're not going to be reinventing the wheel.
Well, it's,
you got Washington State has already done.
Yes,
you got Colorado State has already done. You got Oregon has already done. And those states are like raking in the tax revenue.
Millions of dollars.
No,
in the first
millions
year
with a B, brah.
In the first year, in the first 6 months, Colorado was talking nearly $1 billion.
And that's just a percentage of that's just like tax revenue.
Yeah.
So, you know, Hawaii, I hear the legislatures, they complaining all the time, like, oh, no money for this, oh, no money for that.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to fix the potholes in the road? You want to get the schools back in shape?
So.
Legalize.
Yeah. You know, okay, we just came off talking about politics, and, you know, following that theme, Kauai Kine is basically the people's champ. I'm here looking out for the people, advocating for the patients, you know, especially. And just advocating for this plant and the, you know, freedom of life. We've seen so many restrictions of governments, corporation, greed, you know, leeching into everything. And this is an opportunity here for us, especially in Hawaii, to get something right and be a model for the rest of the, you know, the rest of the world. But that's big talk, but you know.
Really gotta have a vision.
Yeah. You know,
well, marijuana is one of the most researched plants on the planet, actually. And over the last 50, 60 years, a tremendous body of research has been compiled and done. And a lot of that information has been suppressed and kept from the community because of the benefits that are being
so much
revealed from this particular crop. And it's not just in a medical aspect, but when we're talking about marijuana, you know, we're looking at medical and recreational use, and we're looking at the buds and the stuff that we get high off of, but we're also understanding that there's a beneficial medicinal aspect to that part of the plant. And we also understand that as an industry, we're not just limited to the marijuana production for medicine, because one of the things that has been restricted due to the war on drugs and this battle against marijuana cultivation and production is the restriction of hemp production, because it falls under the cannabis category of genus species, right?
I love how this, you know, this kind of keeping along with the political side of the topic. So basically throughout, you know, throughout the history, as I would say a human race maybe.
Straight up.
During times of turbulence, or times where our economic was in crisis, there was revolutions that occurred. You know, more closely was the Industrial Revolution that popped up and happened. That surge.
The Technical Revolution.
Technical Revolution one. So now this is the Green Revolution that is going to surge the economy and pump a lot of just, this is going to draw the value out of wherever it's hiding. Because now all the money that's hiding, all the big money is going to be dumping into investing. So this money is hiding. It's going to come out and play once again. And the Green Revolution is impetus or that catalyst, or it's the wave that's coming here.
There's definitely the wave that's coming. And that's exactly, that's a great way to look at it. And it's a big green wave, as we say.
And not just
green as in marijuana, but we're talking about a huge amounts of money that's going to be flowing through the market.
Our whole dispensary system is about controlling where that money goes, how that money is spent. That's what our dispensary system
and
is.
Can we stick with this metaphor of a wave for a minute?
Okay.
So you got a big wave coming. If you want to ride that wave, what do you got to do? You got to be in the right place.
Great question.
You got to know where that wave is going to break. You got to be pointed in the right direction. You need to have the right kind of board. You got to pre-position.
So
that's why we're talking about this now.
I would like to think that our Kauai people have been in position for a long time. I'm going to say that the black market is thriving here. You know, that's no secret. The reason why we didn't need dispensary systems set up in Hawaii was because the black market was already thriving.
Yeah, there's already a well-established dispensary system.
Informal kind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our geneticists, our botanists, our scientists, our researchers are all the brotherhood out there.
Mm.
All you brotherhood, all you backyard girls, all you humble MFs is what I'm going to call you.
MFs, okay.
MFs, because I can't be... This is live. I might drop an F-bomb or so.
As long as it's an F-bomb.
Because I'm excited about this, because all my backyard guys, all my humble Hawaiians out there, these are the geneticists. These are the growers. These are the cultivators. They are the dispensary pharmacists, bud tenders, whatever they like call them.
Farmers for the future.
They're the future farmers of the world.
Of Hawaii. Farmers of Hawaii.
So I'm excited about this whole industry, and you know, I can go on and on.
All right, well, you know what? We get a caller come in.
Yeah, so. Let's see it. Yeah. Let's see what the caller has to say.
I want to thank callers for standing by, because we, you know, kind of get this conversation started first.
I haven't been able to come on and actually accept calls, so I'm really excited to hear people.
All right, hey, aloha caller, you're on the air. This is Jonathan Jay, Boom Kanani, and Brother Joshua Fukino talking about the Green Revolution.
Aloha caller, you're on the air.
Try again.
Aloha caller, you're on the air.
Now you got him.
Hey, aloha, my brother.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Hey, right on, bro. First thing, we is a fruitful island.
Hey, oh.
That's why we so green.
Talk to me, bro.
Keep up the good work, my brother, because basically when they're still flying around, they still send illegal flying and all that. They're flying more than telephone lines to housing and homes, which that's supposed to be illegal, correct?
So, my brother, are you one of those guys that's not on social media?
I'm one of the brother that push for things that is right.
Okay. Because I was going to say, you can connect with me on that, and we can get further if you, you know, get disconnected or run out of time, because I hear you in a windy area.
You can hear me now?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, basically, what they think to us and telling us what we can and cannot do is actually illegal slavery, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And this is actually our own Aina. It's our kuleana, our land.
Yes,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Who gives them the right to tell us what to do on our own land? And We got to pay taxes. We got to do all this and that. It's actually illegal slavery.
It would appear you're talking about the elephant in the room.
I think that's the past 2 hours.
I
right?
think that was oh, the past hour and then some. Yeah. How about 123 years?
Well, hey, here, brother, here's a chance where we can unshackle those chains and take hold of this industry that's coming and ride this wave. Because
oh, yeah. See,
this
oh,
is
yeah,
a beast of the wave that the state cannot catch. It's, you know,
this is something that we got to push together and everybody got to cook up. They got to allow Lima. They got to get together.
Let's all get together. Let's do that.
So how does that work? Because, you know, if you have a place that's known for having great waves, people are going to come from all over the world and they, like, crowd in and ride that wave. And so, sometimes the locals get pushed out. So how are we going to avoid that here?
So there's a few ways, you know. You know, I mean, keep you with the wave, you know, whatever. But the wolf pack, right? They regulate hard on that side. And we see what happens when you use fire with fire.
Yeah.
Everybody get burned, right?
You know, that's exactly right.
Everybody get burned.
Everybody
so
get burned.
What my approach is, what I'm going to try and do, which is going to be a little different, is I'm going to use the Aloha approach. And everything I do going to be a lot of one love, just like, you know, Mr. Marley said. Just like a lot, you know. Just show the true Aloha. And when that happens, you know, nothing can stop you. One thing that I tell everybody, okay, Aloha Aina. We see what our Aloha Aina warriors can do when they have no money. Little to no money.
Like zero, fumes.
Zero funds, right?
Yeah.
Imagine, listener, what Aloha Aina does when they're fully funded. When they're fully funded.
Well, you end up with the Hawaiian Kingdom.
What can Aloha Aina achieve?
That's
so
what,
that is my motivation. Yeah.
And there's good and bad in all, everything that exists.
But that's kind of the game we play.
And that's kind of...
Like Mr. Jonathan Jay said, we're in a market democracy, right?
Right.
That's the game we're playing.
Right.
So instead
yeah,
of...
Yeah, and the market comes first. Democracy is like...
Well, you know what?
16.
Honestly...
So, if we control this market, Kauai... I'm just talking about Kauai right now.
Yeah.
If we control Kauai, and we're the ones in the dispensaries with our growers in and the community in that dispensary, then we have more of a say on what happens here.
All right.
I feel, at least I feel.
So that sounds like a community development model is what it sounds like to me.
Do we know if all of the eight licenses have been issued yet?
I don't know.
Do we get any information?
I think
I was trying to find that earlier, but I'm having little issues with the internet
earliest
connection, and I have some of that
April, later
stuff.
Yeah,
to
and actually, I heard that one of the newspapers was filing a court order. They were suing the state to release the information about the way the process was being conducted, like who is get to say, who gets to pick, because so far it has been completely opaque.
Well, ultimately,
like
you know,
a black box.
One of the reasons why we wanted to have this conversation today was just to try to make the community aware of this movement that's happening. You know, what we're calling it the green wave and all that right now, but cannabis deregulation is happening, and
yes,
right now we're on the edge of what potentially is going to be a multi-billion-dollar industry. But for each island, because each island will have a part in this dispensary program, and it's gonna be important for our community to really pay attention to how this new industry that's going to be heavily regulated. Essentially, we're looking at an industry that's going to be regulated even heavier than any industry that's ever existed up to this point. Guarantee. It's already under tremendous speculation and scrutiny.
Scrutiny.
So, you know,
how do
we as a people get some of the benefit of this type of economy that's coming towards us? How do we see it affecting our local economy and the overall picture for Hawaii?
Well, I think it's going to bring down the meth population and it's going to stop corrupting more of our people and the youth, because right now, if they legalize marijuana, You know, it's actually a medicine. It's a la'olapa'ol. It's a proven fact that it cures glaucoma, cancers, ADD, ADHD, people with Tourette's. I mean, it's a medicine. It is a la'olapa'ol also. It helps out with a lot of things and with people and their symptoms that they might have, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Basically, this whole thing is a war between two doctors. You got one doctor that says, hey, look, my man-made dust chemicals can cure you and help you. But basically, they're still going back to the doctors for more refills. That means it ain't helping you.
Well, and plus they get the patent on that one. So it's about profit, not about health.
There's another side of a doctor that said, hey, look, this is one of the miracle fruits. Like, actually, it's a miracle plant. It helps with a lot of things, a lot of different things for helping people out.
There's a lot of answers to be found and had in researching the history of hemp in America, and through that research alone, you'll really see why and where we ended up following the path that we're currently on. So
because back in the 50s, 60s, they're saying, America was saying, hey, if a woman smokes weed, she'll grow a beard. You know, they had that advertised on newspapers, which I have copies of those too, because I do my history and my research upon this. I'm one that partakes in medicine, and I have a license to grow and partake in my medicine. Yeah,
as far as the United States goes, what we see is that the suppression of the hemp industry happened shortly after the Civil War ended. So it's been a process in the long run. And we're finally coming to a point where things are cresting and the proverbial scales have tipped. So we're interested to see where things go. Right now, mahalo caller for your time and your input. Bada Josh.
If you're just joining us right now, you've got to tune to KKCR. Thank you for sharing your afternoon with us. This is Out of the Box with Boom Kanani and Jonathan Jay. Our guest in the studio right now is Joshua Fukino. And we're talking about the Green Revolution.
Yeah.
The sticky kind.
The sticky kind. Sorry. You caught me on commercial break again. I'm Snapchatting and it's
Oh, no, bro. We live.
Yeah. Josh is the master over at
social media giant right here. So if you guys are on Snapchat, it's Bro Josh 420. If you guys are on Facebook, you just follow Koi Kine.
Yeah.
Just Google Koi Kine. You can find my YouTube videos up there. Instagram, Koi Kine 420. So we got all of the bases covered. My name is Joshua Fukino. My number is 482-9256.
So it's important to get that contact info out because, you know, we're just trying to introduce the topic now, but
what can we expect to be seeing from you here shortly?
I'm trying to plan an event right now, and I want to just kind of, like, talk about what you said about how Hawaii can kind of do their thing.
Yeah.
So right now, this regulation is a big problem. And what I'm seeing is it's because the people in Colorado, California, Washington, they're kind of wilding up. They're kind of turning up. They're kind of getting crazy. You know, really insane festivals where, whoa, people are scared. People are worried. And
I haven't heard so much about that.
Well, but I just kind of been following it, right?
Oh, okay.
And the thing is I see it and I can, you know, I just kind of understand where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have an opportunity, like I said, in Hawaii, to show him a different way. And the aloha that I'm planning on doing, and this whole greed thing, this whole thing trying to make the most money out of this plant. I mean, this plant is so free. This plant produces so much seeds.
Mm.
I can produce so much. If you guys going to be at this weekend, the seed exchange, I forget where that place is.
It's at the Anainaho, the mini golf in Kilauea.
What is that, Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah, Saturday.
So Saturday. I thought it was going to be Sunday.
Wait, hold on.
Let's double check that for the listeners.
Get this right. Where'd it go?
Yeah.
Where is? There we go. All right, let's listen to this.
Okay. The 16th Kauai Community Seed and Plant Exchange will be held on Sunday, March 13th from noon to 5 p.m. at the Anainaho Community Park in Kilauea, home of Kauai Mini Golf and Namahana Farmers Market. Live music will feature Kaimi and Dell of Kuhalalea.
That's the beauty of community radio.
And more.
Sunday.
Okay, so
Sunday, here's the important thing. I'm going to be there Sunday. Yes, I'm going to be there Sunday, and because it's a seed exchange, I'll be bringing some genetics with me.
Right on.
Yes, I will be. And I'm trying to hook up with this beast of a grower that I found, and I'm trying to maybe get some seeds from him so that we can bring back that old strains that's been found around the islands, put that back in circulation.
Mm.
And I bring in some stuff that me and my uncle kind of crossed, but, you know, it's something out there, and I'm gonna bring it, and, it's not the herb itself, it's the seed to plant it, and you got to have your medical card, you got to be all, you know, registered, you know.
Okay, so you're not trying to cause any pilikia.
No.
Okay.
No. Well, I was going to say, you know, I got a list of the penalties that you currently face for being in possession over there, and so less than an ounce, you know, you're looking at a misdemeanor, and it doesn't really tell what...
As a patient, you can hold 3 ounces?
I'm saying
not
person with no more card.
Let's focus on the positive.
Right?
Let's tell people what they can do. Josh, tell them what we can do.
So that is my thing right there. My thing is the state system is, you know, messed up. The negatives is there, but they have a structure that we can.
So what are the good things that we already can do?
Yeah, we can all grow 7 plants. We can all grow 7 plants. Right now, we can all produce our own seeds. This is with a card.
So how do you get a card?
You need to go and find a doctor that will prescribe the card. If you don't have a doctor, you could give me a call. My number is 482-9256. Go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Google, Koi Kind. You find me. Give me a call. For real. I'll help you guys out. I'll help you find a doctor. For real.
What's the number?
The number is 482-9256.
9256.
Yeah.
Okay. And then check this out.
All right.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapaa. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at HawaiiCompassionateCare.com.
And to my knowledge, he's the only guy on Kauai right now, right, doing that?
You know, the other guy that was here...
certifications?
Okay, so the rumor is the other guy that was here, he upped and left because... Oahu is going to start booming, you know, once
and that's where he's still now.
I guess he set up a shop there.
Yeah. Well, we all know that Honolulu, whatever happens in Honolulu first, usually. You know, they get to pick out a litter.
I hope that whatever happens in Honolulu stays in Honolulu.
Hey, came to Hawaii, make sure you tell all your friends you had a great time in Honolulu.
See, that's why I think Kauai can, I think we have a chance to take control of our market.
You know what I would like to
Koi
see?
Would you like to see a caller come into the show?
Well, the caller, I would like to hear what the caller has to say.
Okay.
But what I would like to see is a growers symposium occur.
I would love that.
You know, that's something, because I know that there's a lot of geneticists and so on who are working, botanists, who are working with this particular plant as a research
indeed.
Model, you know, and they got
that green tongue.
It just baffles me. It never ceases to amaze me the level of science that goes into the production and of this plant. Again,
well, you know
all I'm missing is lab coats. Let me just say, all I'm missing is
and
lab
coats. And I've seen some lab coat conditions with the AC and
all
in
my
the backyard.
All my backyard girls.
I've seen
that's all
some
I'm missing
of that
is
kind
the
of
lab coats at
well,
the
backyard.
But they're motivated.
They're monsters at their craft.
All right, so let's get a caller into the
craft,
mix here.
Exactly.
Aloha caller, you're on the air. Okay, now you're on the air.
Oh, okay, good. I was just wondering, it seems like they've got some rules set down about this ground up or whatever they call it. It's going to have to be in a $1 million building and all that kind of stuff. If you're a grower yourself, you can't be a caregiver anymore, although that will be illegal. You have to buy them from the dispensary. It seems like they're setting up the capitalists so that they can, we can't fight it any longer. Let's make some money out of the deal.
Is that what you think it is? Do you think it's designed to fail?
No, I think it's designed to make a lot of money. And they're hoping that nobody is going to be too concerned that it might be Monsanto growing it or Syngenta growing it or
if it's genetically modified or if they're using pesticides to grow the stuff. You know, what kind of product are they going to really come out with? The growers we have on the island growing this stuff, they love their plants. They pay attention to it every day. It's not like they've got a growing system where they're, you know, water a whole room at one time and then dispense pesticides all over them and, you know, create other types of cannabis to grow. So has that all been decided is my question? Is that like a done deal and now we got to go with a ground-up idea?
Or? All right, well, I'm going to just hit you real quick with what's happening at the state level.
Thank you, caller. We're going to listen off air, yeah?
State of Hawaii Department of Health Medical Marijuana Program. If you go to the health department, health.hawaii.gov/medical marijuana, you'll find this exact page that I'm looking at right now. And so the Department of Health is responsible for administering two distinct but related medical marijuana programs, both the Medical Marijuana Registry Program and the Medical Marijuana Dispensary Programs are designed to ensure medical marijuana is accessible for Hawaii's patients while making quality control and product safety top priorities, as well as ensuring public safety. The Medical Marijuana Registry Program was created by Act 228, Session Laws of Hawaii 2000, and is codified in the Hawaii Revised Statutes.
Is that 2000?
Yes, sir.
So it's been we have medical marijuana in Hawaii for 16 years now, and they're only just now talking about trying to figure out what dispensary is one of the
controversies wrapped around what this whole thing that we're looking at right now. So the Department of Health, the Medical Dispensary Program, was created in 2000. Session Laws of Hawaii is codified in the Hawaii Revised Statute as Part 6, Chapter 329 HRS, the Medical Marijuana Dispensary Program. Now listen, the registry program was codified in 2000. The Medical Marijuana Dispensary Program was created by Act 241, Session Laws of Hawaii in 2015.
So it took them 15 years to figure out a dispensary mechanism for what the medical marijuana they already allowed.
Over that whole time, there had been various discussions and committees put together to draft what we're looking at
that
here
sounds
now.
To me like okay. A lot
so
of
that
hot
was codified as the Hawaii Revised Statute HRS Chapter 329D in the HRS. So since we're talking about dispensaries, so the Hawaii Department of Health's program Harm Reduction Services Branch has administered the Medical Marijuana Registry Program since it was transferred from the Hawaii Department of Public Safety on January 21st.
All right, so we got a caller standing by.
Go ahead, let's take the call.
Okay, caller, what do you think of what you're hearing? And thanks for being so patient.
First of all, I can't wait till it's legal so I can try some marijuana.
For the very first time, right?
I've heard a lot about it. And so do you think, I heard that the big bad companies are going to get the okay to grow it. That's what I heard.
They've already been, Philip Morris has already patented and has the copyright for M brand cigarettes, which will be marijuana cigarettes, and they're poised to begin production and distribution as soon as the federal side legalizes that. Caller, if you could turn your radio down a bit.
Yeah,
I'm trying to hear you guys. Okay, I'm turning it down. There.
Yeah, we should be in the phone.
That's
yeah.
Better, yeah.
Okay, it makes a cool sound effect, but it's really hard to hear.
All right.
And also, do you think that someone could pay off our mayor and then get the business going? And I have a couple of questions. And also, if people are growing it and making a fair living, but they're very generous with selling it, they're not greedy, will they still be allowed to sell? And also, the people with the medical growing license, will they also still be able to get a license and keep growing it?
All right, those are great questions.
All right, well, yeah. let's see here.
So I can jump in with some of that.
Please do.
Well, you're the guest, actually. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, so so the growing thing, the caregiver thing.
I'm going to turn off on my radio and hang up my phone so I can hear you guys better.
All right, thank you, caller.
Okay, thank you so much. And Felicia, I love Felicia.
Yeah, we love Felicia, too. You hear that, Felicia? You're loved.
I'm going to... Aloha.
Aloha. All right, so go ahead, Brother Josh.
Was somebody writing a list down of all those questions?
She wanted to know if...
I caught the back heart path part with the caregiver stuff.
Yeah. She wanted to know if you can still grow.
So, yeah. If you're a patient, you can grow. And
Will that still be true when the dispensary comes in?
So what the new law did was it took the, responsibility or whatever you want to call it, designation, off of a person, and now you need to designate a grow site. It doesn't say whether or not you are able to grow or not. It just says you need to designate a grow site. So if your caregiver lives at this grow site, I would suspect they could still kind of water your plants, kind of cut the grass for you, and that would be fine. Well, so
that all sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
But I don't have great confidence that the state of Hawaii is going to be reasonable about this.
So
only because I have watched them not be reasonable for a long time. And like helicopters flying over neighborhoods all the time so low, it's like, get out of my yard.
So the problem is when
it's so noisy.
The big problem is the black market. The big problem is selling your surplus meds. That's when you get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble if you're trying to sell without a license. Because the dispensary guys, they're going to pay a lot of money for their license. All of you, all the brothers selling right now, you guys are going to get in trouble. And they're going to come straight to your house. They're going to know you got 18 plants. They're going to come over. They're going to try and run, they might even run your financials. Your money, your paper trail. If the state goes that route, I mean, the greed is so, like, you could taste it in these rooms. If they go that route and get really ugly on us, but that's why I want to come out first with the aloha and the love. And, like, it's like those brand new white seals on the snow, and you get the big polar bear coming after them. You see this white seal, you don't want to eat them, right? So if we come out with aloha and all cuddly and, like, love and peace or whatever, just like how it was back when, they changed some ideas about wars. I think we have a chance, but if we go with the greed stance too, I don't think anybody gonna come out winning,
Well, except the greed heads. But well, so you're advocating more aloha and less greed.
People are gonna really, really look at me like kind of weird on how freely I am with my abundance that I will have. Because, I want to bring some clones to that this weekend. I want to bring some clones.
But only to people who have the proper registered
stuff.
You
need to be legal. Yeah. I want to deal with people that's following this framework.
That makes sense.
I know the state there's problems. I hear everybody coming up with the negative side. So I'm here looking on that other side, the brighter side. And I'm saying we have a framework. If you got your card, if you 329 got your card, call me up, 482-9256. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Google Kauai Kind. Just write in Kauai Kind on all those search bars and all of those social media.
Right.
Hit me up, and I can get you guys plants, seeds, whatever you need, and get you medicated. This is all for patients. This is all legal, above board. Let's follow this framework. And, just don't tell me what you're doing with your surplus. I don't want to hear,
So you're advocating that people stay inside the framework and stay law-abiding,
yes.
Not advocating for any kind of criminal activity?
There's a lot of potential, and for now, that's where we got to be, and that's where we got to go. And if anybody, because we're so close to the top of the hour, I want to thank Brother Josh for coming in bringing awareness to all of our community and listeners about this issue, and for being somebody who we can turn to fulfill some of the needs that we need in this area. Again, if you go to hawaii.gov webpage and you just do a on-site search for medical marijuana program, you're going to find all the links to what's happening right now and get the dispensary program updates at the state level so you guys can kind of be aware of what's going on. There's a whole program for the there's a medical marijuana registry program, and that's for used patients and
you wrap up
growers,
though, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because you know why? Because Dove is going to come in after six and help us all evolve.
Perfect.
All right. A beautiful music show.
Quick minute. There's going to be an event that I'm going to be holding in April. Looking for a location right now. Anybody out there got a spot? I would love to have an event where we could get more education and awareness out to the community. So, again, my number 482-9256, Koi Kine on all social media. Check it out.
So we're going to wrap it up now with all that. KIC, Board of Directors election, get your ballots in. You got like a couple days. I think that due on the 12th, so hurry up and do that. Come on next is Dove. He's going to evolve. After that is going to be Slim with the Mystery Train.
And we should do this again.
I know. How about
a
Thursday?
So.
Someday.
Okay, well, thanks so much for sharing your afternoon and evening with us. Really appreciate it. This is the station that loves you, and we appreciate all the love that you give us.
Where can we get this magazine?
Oh, what is the magazine?
The Cannabis Review, Volume 1, Issue 1.
Where? Well, that magazine comes out of Maui.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
It
comes out of Maui. You guys can go search them online, Cannabis Review. They're going to have an event in Maui, too, Reggae on the Rock.
All right, well, that sounds awesome. I got to play this here. We got an event coming up here, Kanaka Jams. You can check that out. And then after that, we get the county council report from John Gordon. And then stick around for a beautiful evening of music, all on KKCR, the station that loves you.
Kanaka Jams, a benefit for the North Shore Lions Club. Music, art, and entertainment. Sunday, March 13, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Prince Albert Park, Princeville. Live music, art auction, fashion show, crafts, and food. All proceeds from the auction go to the Sight is Beautiful art program in our school. More information at 826-9185. Kanaka Jams.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of March 7th. There will be a regular council meeting at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday, March 9th. The meeting will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here's some highlights from the rather lengthy agenda. The council will interview Gary Pacheco for the Liquor Control Commission with a term ending 12/31/2018. Prosecuting attorney requests approval to spend $210,716 in federal funds for the Kauai Victim of Crime Act expansion project for the Public Safety Committee, and this was recommended referral on March 2, 2016, and it's also under committee reports. The mayor transmits two candidates for approval for the Police and Liquor Control Commissions, and this is also under resolutions. The acting housing director transmits for consideration two resolutions regarding HUD grants. Councilmember Hooser transmits for council consideration a resolution urging Governor Ige, the Kauai Legislative Delegation, and the State Department of Transportation to acknowledge the urgency and importance of addressing the traffic congestion within the Kapa'a-Wailua traffic corridor. And this is resolution number 2016-31. The Chief of Police requests council approval of an unbudgeted equipment purchase of para-DNA screening unit at a cost of $73,318.98 using unexpended funds from a KPD account. The Fire Chief requests council approval to spend two assistance to firefighters grants, the first to purchase 50 automatic external defibrillators with training. Their current AEDs are 10 years old and failing. The total cost of this project is $260,000, of which AFG would cover 90%, or $199,735, and the KFD would be responsible for the remaining 10%. The second grant would be used to purchase a 2,000 4x4 water tender with training, which will assist KFD in remote locations or where additional water resources will be needed to mitigate structure, brush, or other fires. Total cost of this project is $286,000, of which AFG would cover 90%, or $260,000, and the KFD would be responsible for the remaining 10%. The planning director transmits the planning commission's recommendation amending the county code restricting homestays to the Vista designation area and establishing standards under which homestays should operate. This is proposed draft bill number 2619 under bills for the first reading. Councilmember Chalk requests council consideration for the public release of two county attorney opinions relating to Bill 2601, removing the sunset restriction for additional dwelling units on other than residentially zoned lots. Councilmember Yukamura transmits for council consideration a proposal to amend the county fuel tax rates as follows. Effective January 1, 2017, an additional 15 cents per gallon of liquid fuel and additional 10 cents per gallon of biodiesel. Effective January 1, 2026, the fuel tax would be decreased by 15 cents per gallon of liquid fuel and 5 cents per gallon for biodiesel. This is Resolution 2016-32 and proposed draft bill number 2620, also under bills for the first reading. Councilmember Yukamura also transmits for council consideration proposed amendments to establish a 0.25% surcharge on the state general excise tax and use tax for the county of Kauai. This is proposed draft bill number 2621. She also transmits for consideration a proposed draft bill to amend the county code to increase the motor vehicle weight tax for all motor vehicles by $0.0138. See proposed draft bill number 2622. Under committee reports for the Public Safety Committee, Council Chair Raposo requests the fire chief provide a briefing on the recent rescues that took place in Kalalau Valley and the reasons as to why the county is not charging for the recovery of rescue expenses outlined in Ordinance 991, and this was received for the record. The Planning Committee has communications from Council Chair Raposo requesting agenda times for the Coco Palms Hui LLC to provide a status report regarding their progress to rebuild the Coco Palms Hotel, and this was received for the record. Under bills for second reading is Bill 2614, Draft 2, relating to registration of lobbyists. There will be a non-public executive session. Subjects include a matter pertaining to the county attorney, also pertaining to the county clerk, and a briefing on a civil case. And finally, to provide a briefing to council regarding council's release of county attorney opinions relating to Bill number 2601, removing the sunset restriction for additional dwelling units on other than residentially zoned lots. If the council is not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m., it will recess for public hearing. Bill 2616 relating to impoundment fees and Bill 2617 revising amounts estimated in the general fund, and that's for the Kauai Humane Society barking dog enforcement in the amount of $33,901. Visit http://www.kauai.gov for more information. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is your community radio station. KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea.